1 Corinthians chapter 3. Whenever you find that, if you don't mind to stand. And we'll get into the Word of God tonight. First Corinthians chapter 3. Maybe just a little bit more time to find that. It's right after Romans. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Paul is the writer writing to the church at Corinth. Getting deep tonight. And so Paul started this church. I'll just give you a tiny bit of background real fast. Was there for a year and a half. He moved on, planted other churches. Apollos came on the scene and became the pastor there. And the church at Corinth had a lot of issues. Both books of the Corinthians are kind of negative in the sense that he's dealing with a lot of problems. And so that's stinking. But there's a truth here that we can glean from, and I'm going to do my best to not come off negative, although I have to preach the context, and we'll do that. But my heart, I want you to know, I do not feel like our church is struggling, like the church at Corinth is struggling. But there's a truth here that once we make it through the negative part, there's a truth here that I know will be a help to us. Okay? Are you ready? First one. And I, brethren, this is Paul, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now really the thrust of our message starts here in verse 4. For while one saith, this is what they were fighting about, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Verse 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? I'm trying to help them think right about this. But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything. Get it? Understand this. We are nothing, me and Apollos. Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Me and Apollos, we're on the same page. And you shouldn't be fighting about who you like better and all that. Okay, we're the same. And here's where we are. We're both nothing. That's how we're the same. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye, the church that they're writing to of Corinth, are God's husbandry. And ye are God's building. And so then he continues on with that metaphor of the building. But tonight, we'll stop reading there, and the message is this. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Let's pray a little bit into our message. God, thank you so much. Thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you have done here in Falls City and at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. It's evident, obvious, that you've been at work. And God, I just pray that you help us tonight to keep our focus where it belongs, and that's you, and just trust you as we move forward and following you. We love you, Christ, and I pray, amen, amen, you may be seated. And so, again, church at Corinth, not doing awesome, okay? He's already talked to them about a few different issues. We're not going to get into all of it tonight, just for sake of time. But they were struggling, okay? Paul started the church. He was there for a year and a half, which is a long time for Paul, and was able to really lay down the foundation of the gospel, give them doctrinal teaching. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul we're talking about. And so they sat under some incredible biblical teaching for a year and a half, which doesn't sound like a long time, but under the ministry of Paul, that is a long time. And then after that, they, after Paul left, they were able to have Apollos as their pastor. And Apollos was an incredible man himself. Now, Paul, we know who Paul is. He's the greatest missionary ever to exist and wrote most of our Bible. And so obviously, Paul was incredible as a man that God used. But Apollos, God used him in a mighty way. Really fast, don't lose your spot here, but go to Acts 18. We'll read a little bit about Apollos just to help you see what's being said here and what Paul is referring to. Acts 18, and we're in verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos. So now what we're going to do is learn a little bit about Apollos just quickly. He was born in Alexandria. And so Alexandria is not a Jewish city. It's a Gentile city, but he's a Jew who was learned and taught in Alexandria. But Alexandria was the prime city for education and knowledge, okay, there. And he was born there, and he was an eloquent man because of that. He received a lot of training educationally. And so he was very smart, very eloquent, mighty in the scriptures. So he didn't just know a lot of things. You can learn a lot of things that don't matter in education. We know that. But he was mighty in the scriptures. He understood the scriptures. And so this was a man who was taught, a man who was eloquent, and mighty in the scriptures. I can't think of a more incredible compliment than that somebody is mighty in the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. And so not only was he taught a lot, but he had a special ability from God to pass that knowledge on. So he was a great teacher. Okay, now, after that, it says he only knew the baptism of John, and we're not going to deal with that too much, but basically what happened is he knew the Old Testament scripture. He was, at some point, a disciple of John, but at this place, somehow, he didn't know that Christ died. I don't know if he was somewhere else, but they found that Priscilla and Aquila found him and taught him about what Christ did, and he got saved after that, after the teachings of Christ, and actually got baptized under that doctrine, because at that point his doctrine was wrong. And so then he, because Christ did die, and he didn't know that, he didn't believe that, he didn't know it, but he was taught the scripture, taught about the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, believed in Christ, and was baptized with his new knowledge of doctrine and salvation. We're not going to deal with all this. A whole thing about that we're not going to deal with tonight, unless you want to be here for another hour. Do you want to do that? We're not going to do that. But what we're learning tonight is Apollos was a great man, that he was a man who was well-educated, but he wasn't just well-educated. He was able to dispense the Word of God. And he was a godly man, and he wasn't proud about it. He received knowledge and humbly expended knowledge. And so back to Corinthians there, 1 Corinthians. So the church of Corinth had Paul for a year and a half, and then they had Apollos for years. And I believe, I should have confirmed this, but I think it was 4 or 5 years since Paul started this church. And so, if that being the case, they would have had Paul as a teacher and then Apollos as a teacher. And he would have been there for, I guess, 3.5 years. They had access to a lot of knowledge, but still, they were struggling with teach. And so, chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes into Christ." He's saying, I should be able to dispense the deeper things of God. I should be able to speak to you as spiritual. There, you should not be babies in Christ anymore. You should know the fundamental truths of the gospel, and I should be able to be writing you a letter that builds upon your spiritual life. But instead, we have to go all the way back and lay the foundation again and feed you, verse 2, with milk and not meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And they should have been able to. Okay? Now, we're not going to labor there, but that's where they are as a church. Now, why? Why are they there? Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. Now, what's carnal? Carnal, it stems from the word that means meat or flesh. You know, carne asada? Carne, meat, dead animal, amen. I love carne, okay. And so, but I don't like carnality, though. And so the idea here is carnality is living based upon our flesh, okay? It's referring to our flesh. Well, what's our flesh? Well, that's who we are apart from God. When someone is unsaved, actually, if you back up to chapter 2, verse 15, no, verse 14, but the natural man, and so there's the natural man. The natural man is someone who has not received the Spirit of Christ. The natural man is an unsaved person. Before we're saved, before Jesus lives in us, all we have is the flesh, and we're natural. And all we can do is live by the lusts of our flesh, which is sinful. And so we make a lot of mistakes, and we don't glorify God with our life. Well, whenever we get saved, the moment we get saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we become, like we actually mentioned this morning, living temples, living sanctuaries of God. And God lives and dwells inside of us. And now, as a saved person, we have an option to be either spiritual or carnal. We cannot be natural anymore. It's not like we have no option anymore. The natural man has no option. He has to live by the dictates of his flesh, by his desires, by his emotions, by his lusts. That's all an unsaved person has. But as a saved person, we get a choice, don't we? We get to choose to live by our flesh and our desires and our emotions and our lusts, or we can choose to live by the Spirit of God. And as a saved person, you have two voices in your head, and you're not a psycho, as far as I know. You have two voices in your head. One is the flesh, and one is the Spirit. And we get to choose. Are we going to follow what we think is best in our reasoning and our flesh, or are we going to follow the Spirit and what He's telling us to do? And so, if we follow the flesh, we're what Paul describes as carnal. And as we follow the Spirit, we're what Paul describes as spiritual. Now, when you get saved, it's understandable at the first that you're going to make a lot of carnal decisions at the beginning. You don't have to. We always have a way of escape as a saved person. The Holy Spirit lives in every saved person. Nobody has to make carnal decisions. But as a new believer, as Paul called it, a babe in Christ, it's in a sense more understandable that you would make decisions based upon your flesh and your reasoning. Why? Because you've done it your whole life. And there's that habit there. But what we're supposed to do is become less and less dictated by our flesh and more controlled by the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to do, and become spiritually mature and start thinking not how we used to think, but start thinking the way God tells us to think, the way the Word of God, we need to start thinking biblically, to think spiritually. To think biblically is the same as thinking spiritually. What do you mean? Well, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and so that's the way we're supposed to think. And we can go on a lot of different applications here in our relationship with each other. We're supposed to love one another even as Christ loved, and sacrificially so, even so much as we love our enemies. And we're supposed to love people and put others before us and love our enemies and not retaliate. That's a spiritual decision we have to make in our mind. And our flesh says, our enemies did this, so I should do this and to get back at them. And our flesh says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Our flesh says, they did this, so I'll do this. But Jesus says, the Holy Spirit from the Word of God says this, no, you need to treat others how you want to be treated, and that's in the context of our enemies. And we treat everybody the way that we want to be treated, not how they treat us. That's a spiritual decision we have to make to follow Him. We have to follow the Spirit to have joy in all things, and no matter how life is going, and no matter how hard it gets, if we're following the Spirit's control, we can always find joy. Why? Because we know, spiritually speaking, that no matter how hard life gets, that God's involved with all of that. And we can have a joy and a peace that passes understanding as we start thinking about this life, not by sight, but by faith. And we start thinking about our life and our situation with this in mind, knowing that God's at work always. That's a spiritual decision we have to make. You see? And on we can go. But what we need to do is stop reacting in our flesh and start reacting by the Spirit's control. Well, now he gets down to the nitty-gritty and really what they're dealing with, okay? In verse 3, you said for your carnal, that's an umbrella term, and now he gets more specific where he says, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And so the church had strife and envying and division. There were fights in the church. There were people who were mad at each other, and everybody knew it. You know, if you're really mad at somebody, everybody knows it. If you're having a bad spirit, everybody can tell. Well, how do you know? Oh, hi, you. I love you. But, oh. Everybody sees it. Paul wasn't in Corinth. How did he know? Because everyone knows. If you have a bad attitude, everyone knows. Okay? Everyone knows. Because we know what it's like. And we see it. Anyway. But there's fights. If there's people in the church that have fights with each other, strife, division, here's why. Always. Carnality. That's what Paul said, isn't it? He said, there's strife, division in your church. You know what that means? You're carnal. Well, no, Paul. I'm mad because they did that and I don't appreciate it. And that's why we're fighting. No, it's not why you're fighting. You're fighting because you're responding to that wrong. There will always be offenses, always, in churches. You know why? Because churches are full of people. And people are dirtbags. And you are people and I am people. And we're all dirtbags. And we're going to do things that offend each other. Always. There's never going to be a time at Valley Avenue Baptist Church where somebody is not offending somebody. Because we're sinful. Because we're not perfect. We're limited in our abilities. And we do stuff because of our limitations. We don't always know the best thing to do. And so we make mistakes, sometimes on accident. Sometimes that does happen because we're all fallen and limited. But sometimes we make decisions on purpose because of our sin, and we make a mistake on purpose and hurt people on purpose. That's going to happen. I'm going to do it to you. You're going to do it to me. Everyone's going to do it to each other because we're sinners. It's going to happen. What matters is what happens after that. What matters is how you handle that. Well, how are we supposed to handle it? Well, based upon what the Spirit says. Well, what does the Spirit say? If a brother offends you, really should say when, but what do? We go to them. Why? Well, to make them feel really ashamed. No. We do that, why? Because we want to be right with each other. We need to be unified. We cannot afford strife and division. And so if someone has sinned against you, we can't just sweep it under the rug and be bitter. We've got to deal with it. Now, there's, again, just limitations and things we just need to understand and forgive and move on sometimes. But if it's a legitimate offense, which will happen, we have a responsibility to go to them. Why? So that we can make it right. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He wants everyone to be right with each other. And if someone offends you, that needs to be a big deal to you. Why? Because you don't want there to be strife between you and that brother. And you want everything to be made right. Now, in a sense, you can't really forgive anybody unless they ask you to forgive. Now, that might have blown your mind. But we cannot forgive anyone until they repent. God doesn't forgive anyone until they repent. But what does God do? He is always willing and ready to forgive. And that's our heart. If someone offends us, we should desperately want to forgive them. So that's why we go to them. and we tell them the fault. And what we hope happens is they say, oh man, you know what? Maybe I didn't realize. Maybe I was just acting my flesh there. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And then Jesus says, forgive them, and you've gained your brother. Done. We move forward. It's like nothing happened, and we can serve the Lord together and have a good spirit. Awesome. Well, then what happens if they don't? Well, then you need to go get somebody else involved. Preferably the man of God or somebody who's thinking spiritually. Someone who's not going to be like, they did what? Let's get them! No, you know who you can go to for that. Don't go to them. Okay? They need to be the peacemaker. And they say, and then you tell them, and they say, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, let's go talk to them. And hopefully we can make this right. And no one else needs to know except for you, the person who offended you, and the person you're bringing with you. But they still don't repent. Then there's a problem. Then we've got to bring it before more people and eventually before the church, and it stinks. But the whole point of all of it is so that the divisions can be done, so that we can be made reconciled with each other. Because we cannot be right with God unless we're right with each other. You see? Or at least your side of the fight is resolved, where you're ready to forgive. Or maybe you're the offender and you did something wrong. If you've done something wrong and you know it, what do you need to do? Well, you need to go to them and say, I did this and I'm sorry. They might not forgive you. You can't make them, but you're done. That's your job. You go to them and you apologize and hopefully they'll forgive. But you need to do your part, you see? So this is how we deal with contention and fights. Because if there's a fight, if you are involved in a fight, then you are being carnal. They might want to fight you, but we never have, ever, ever have permission to fight back. If they're coming at us, we want to make it right with them. And so he said, there's fights among you, and you're being carnal. You're walking like men. That's how the world works. And we, as a church, cannot afford that. And if there's bitterness in anyone's heart in here, and there's a bad spirit, bad attitude, we need to root that out. Because we need to protect the unity of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Okay. Put a period there, and we'll move on. I would love to answer your question, but maybe after church, okay? And so, here's what they were fighting about. First of all, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So here's their fight. Here's where they were wrong in their thinking. Here's what started the whole fight, is that there were some in the church who liked Paul better than Apollos. I'm a Paul. Maybe they were saved by Paul because he started the church. Maybe, we don't know for sure. Maybe it's the ones that were saved under Paul's ministry versus the ones that were saved under Apollos' ministry. But some of them are saying, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos. Maybe they're like, well, I really like Paul's teaching and stuff. He was down to earth, you know, and he just really, and but some are like, no, I like Apollos because he was super smart and he taught us a lot of stuff. And there's this weird, in a sense, man worship. And fundamentally, they were maybe even coming to church because of Paul and because of Apollos. That's no bueno. That's Spanish for good. No good. That's not why we come. And so Paul says, stop it. That's not exact words, but that's where he's getting. Look in verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Who am I? Paul says, I'm nobody. That's what he even says in verse 7. So then neither is he that planted anything. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Here's who we are. We're ministers. Now, minister is something we use in ministry, and I'm okay with that term. Never, ever, 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 ever call me Reverend Chad, ever, please, ever. I don't deserve reverence, unless you're joking, okay. But it has to be very clear it's a joke, because men of God are not revered above other people in the church. In fact, we are servant. Minister means a servant, a slave. My job is to serve. I'm the bottom rung. Paul says, who am I? I'm a minister. Don't be following me and building your spiritual life after me. And then because I left and now Apollos is here, you're upset because your spiritual life is built upon me. If you build your spiritual life after me or after Apollos, you will fail. And let me just bring it home. If you build your life, your spiritual life, after a man, you will fail miserably. Why? Because we're going to mess up. If you build your life after your pastor, your spiritual life is built upon the foundation of Pastor Moore, you are going to fail miserably because he makes mistakes. And you might not believe it, but he does. Wow, what's his deal? Well, he's human. And let me just tell you, if this all happens and Pastor does move to Arizona and I, by the grace of God, become a pastor of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, let me just clear this spot and make this and beat this drum until I die. Don't build your spiritual life on me, please. I can't wear that. I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to disappoint you. You know why? I'm an idiot. Well, how do you know that? Well, because I'm a person. And I will offend you. I will. I don't want to. I might offend you on accident. There might be a day where I'm just in the flesh and not doing right, where I offend you on purpose. Because I'm a human. And if me or Pastor offending you causes you to leave God, who are you serving? You see? Pastor Moore is leaving, so am I. Who is Pastor? Who am I? Nothing. We're ministers of the one by whom ye believed. He's the one that gave to every man, into verse 5. Verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered. So what does he mean? Well, he started the church. He planted the seed. He started the thing. And then Apollos came and watered it. But neither of them can make things grow. God gave the increase. The things that happened in Corinth were incredible and awesome, but it's not Paul did not do it, and Apollos did not do it. Well, no, because Paul was a really good teacher, and so was Apollos, and so they're the ones who did it. No, wrong-o. They did not do it. God gave the increase. And everything they did that was helpful, it was only because God did it through them. This is God's work. And Valley Avenue Baptist Church, God has done a lot. It's incredible. And I've been privileged to watch it happen as it was a church, an infant church. And then we started adding Sunday school classes and started adding a choir, starting on the youth group, and started doing these things in bus route and van route. And then I'm watching lives change and lives grow and people falling in love with God and serving God. It's been awesome. I've loved every minute of it. I have. But Pastor Moore did not do that. And neither did I. And it's not because none of this happened because me and Pastor were like the A-team and we're awesome. No way. God did it through us, in spite of us. God is doing a work in Falls City. But we need to get our eyes off of the people who are and get our eyes where it belongs. That's what Paul's telling me. He says, look, I planted Apollos water, God gave the increase of verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It is God who is doing this. God is doing this. God has been doing it, God is doing it, and God will continue to do it. If Pastor and I did this, it needs to stop. But God's doing it, you see? And it's incredible to watch what God's been doing. And I'm excited to see what God will continue to do. But if God's doing it, then we're excited about it. That's what we need to do. And you know, when Paul left and moved on, I'm sure there was feelings of loss after a year and a half of ministry, a level of grief. And none of that is bad. when we have someone we love who moves away, it's appropriate and right for there to be a level of sorrow, a level of grief, a level of suffering loss. And if that is the case, we don't even know if that's the case yet, but if that is the case and pastor does move on, well, we'll miss them. And we should. It'd be weird if we were like, see ya. Bye. Whatever. I don't care. But that'd be weird and wrong. And so a level of sorrow is good. But if we keep our focus on that, we're going to turn into the Church of Corinth. Because that's what they were doing. We cannot allow that feeling to foster within us strife and division and anger and bitterness and hurt. We can't allow that in us. Because that's where it becomes a problem, you see. And that's part of the problem of the Church of Corinth. Because they were building their life around a man who left. And now I'm of Paul. Paul says, stop it. This is God's work. And so he says, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And so what's going to happen, the way God is going to reach Falls City, Nebraska, is through Valley Avenue Baptist Church. You, each one of us, as members of the body, whoever is part of the church, whoever God has placed in Valley Avenue Baptist Church, that is who is going to reach Falls City. Not Pastor Moore, not me. Now, as far as Pastor Moore and I are part of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, we will be a part of God's vineyard and a part of God's building, but we are not the vineyard or the building. You see? That's you and me. And what we need to be about doing is working together, striving together for the sake of the gospel and allowing God to continue to work. And God has plans. God has plans for Falls City. God has plans for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And who is that? Well, that's you. And that's me. And we are God's building. So let's follow Him. Let's follow Him. And let's get our eyes off of men and get our eyes where it belongs. And if each member of that church at Corinth were to get their eyes onto God, then here's where they would be. Man, Paul is great. And so is Apollos. But God's doing this. And the strife ends. Right? If we're all focused on God, then what are we divided about? We'll all be in unison together. That's how we unify. We don't unify around shallow things like our age or our lot in life or our social status. These are all shallow things. We unify around this, that we're all headed toward God. And we're all baptized into the same Spirit. Now that's the whole thing, but the Holy Spirit is the one who baptized each of us into the body of Christ. And we're all part of the same body. We're all doing the same thing. We all have different roles to play, but we're all headed the same direction. Yeah. And it's because we all understand God gives the increase. And each one of us, by the way, pastor included, need to do what God tells us to do. Because He's a minister. He doesn't get to choose. Slaves don't choose what they do. They do what the master tells them. And as a minister of God, he needs to follow God. Whether that's in Arizona, whether that's back here, we would rejoice with that. But if God leads him to Arizona, then we rejoice in that. Why? Because we're also servants. We're all ministers. We're all, in a sense, bond slaves, willing bond slaves to Christ. And what we need to do is all get to the place where we are all excited about what God says to do and where God leads. And if we're all there, then we're ready to move forward. We're ready to move forward. And we won't be like the church at Corinth, carnal, like babes, but instead growing and maturing, eventually eating meat and serving God. Serving God. Seeing what God will do. Yep. Let's do that. God gives the increase. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for just again the relevance of your word and how it speaks. Help us, God, to not be carnal, to not react to life based upon what our flesh says and how we feel, but instead, God, reacting based upon how your Holy Spirit leads and directs and how your word tells us to think and act, living spiritually, not carnally. Help us, God, to take division seriously and Lord, be enthusiasts for reconciliation, wanting to unify, wanting to be right with each other so that we can be right with you, so that we can reach people for you. Help us with that. And help us to just keep our eyes where it belongs. And that's you. And you're a good God to us. And you're gracious and merciful. You know best and you know everything. And so God, help us to trust you and follow wherever that is. We love you. Press in my prayer. Amen. We'll stand together.